is happening, everyone? We're coming to you from the Cumberland Farms Lounge at our NBC Sports Boston studios. Cumberland Farms coffee is just 99 cents any size. That's 99 good reasons to switch. I'm Kyle Draper, joined as always by A'Sherrod Blakely. And I want the people, see, the people at home can't get a look at what shirt you're wearing here, dude. But
Dwayne the Pearl Washington representing the Cuse every day.
I don't understand, bro. You got like one title. In your whole career,
dude, that's like one more title than all the schools you went to combined.
But I'm not repping those schools.
And there's a reason for that.
I got my little coffee mug at home, and that's about it. I keep that behind closed doors.
I pointed that out. There's a reason why you don't rap.
Hey, man, we are fresh off the NBA draft. The Celtics standing pat, selecting Robert Williams with the number 27 overall pick coming up in just a couple minutes. We're going to talk to Billy Kennedy, his head coach at Texas A&M. This is a guy that knows Robert Williams very well, coached him for two seasons, and he's going to give us the skinny, the real, when it comes to Robert
Williams.
Yes,
he will. Yes, he will. I think people will be surprised at how candid he is. I mean, that's kind of his, like, under-the-radar rep. He keeps it 100.
And I think
that's one of the reasons why guys like Robert Williams, you know, really felt that was the place for them, you know, when they made their college choice. So
yeah, exactly. And let's talk about Robert Williams. The Celtics' decision to stay at 27. I think they were a little surprised he was still there on the board. Like, Danny was on our air last night, and he said that was their guy. You know, they were hoping to trade up a couple of spots. I don't know if he was their guy. He says he's one of their guys, but when he was there at 27, I think they were like, man, we got to take this guy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, typically there's teams have like a pool of like maybe 10 guys. Yeah. When you're picking as low as they are, you got a pool of like 10 guys. Yeah. And I think two or three of those guys are like, man, if we could get this guy, but we don't think he's going to be there.
Right.
I could see him being part of that pool because he was supposed to go, you know, after the lottery, but probably, you know, worst case scenario, might slip into the 20s was, I think, the general consensus on him. And so once you got past like 22, 23, it's like, oh, crap, he may be there for the taking. Because at that point in the draft, there really started to be a run on wings. And teams saw that there were opportunities to really bolster their wing position. And that's something that the Celtics, they could have done that, but it's not like they need to. I mean, when you talk about having Tatum and Brown and Hayward,
they got wings.
Exactly. Right. So that wasn't something that they necessarily needed to come away with the draft. But ideally, you thought that's what they were going to have no choice because those would have been the best players.
Well, yeah, I feel like, you know, universally, this is viewed as a good pick.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's going to work out or not. We'll have to wait and see. But I feel like the Celtics are in position. If it doesn't work out, it's, you know, okay, it didn't work out. It's the number 27 pick. But the upside far outweighs the reward far outweighs the risk with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, this was easily a low risk, high reward situation for the Celtics. A guy that when you look at what he has done at the college level and you look at what he just physically brings to the table, 6'9", 6'10", 7'5", 7'6", wingspan, double-double type player. The big question with him is motor. I mean, that how does he bring it consistently? You know, I talked to a scout earlier today about him, and he said, you know, he is like what you would call a basketball tease. Because when you watch him play, you see, like, damn, those long arms, all those damn rebounds, and he can finish around the rim. And then you see him play, like, you know, a week later, and it's like, okay, he's not running the floor like I know he can. He's not boxing out the way I know he can. He doesn't seem to be as engaged as he can be. Because when he's engaged, he can be in.
But that's a concern, Sherrod, because when you look at the Celtics' past drafts, and I'm talking just the last two, for instance, Jalen, Jason, those guys were grinders. Like, you know, they put in the work. They didn't take possessions off. You know, they were coming for your throat. Can the Celtics get that out of him?
We're going to find out. I think the first thing that we need to find out from him is, are you open to playing a little game that I like to call follow the leader? Are you going to mimic a guy like Al Horford, who is a great, great leader of men? Are you going to join the young boy posse with Jalen and Jason, guys who put in that work off hours before practice and after practice and at night? Are you going to do the little things like that? Are you going to change your diet so that from an energy standpoint, you're going to be able to compete more consistently? Because that's the issue with him. It's not about talent. It's not about compete level. It's about consistency. When he gets to a point where he's competing at a more consistent level, then we're going to start talking about you not just being sort of kind of like Clint Capella, who's a guy that I think a lot of us are going to compare him to because of a lot of similar characteristics, but are you going to be better than him?
Yeah.
Because there are things about his game that I think he can be better. And Clint is a great player.
I think Clint is coming for you.
A guy who's gotten better every single year. Yeah. But I think Robert has a chance to have a better jumping off point to his career than Clint Capella did. And Clint, let's face it, Clint is about to get
paid
this summer.
Are you disappointed they didn't move up, though?
Not after what they got.
Right.
I mean, listen, if they would have stood pat and they got them like a 6'5", 6'6", wing who was going to fight to be like that 4'5" wing, and I would have been a little disappointed because especially if Robert went off the board like at 25 or 24, then you're thinking like, damn, they couldn't go up a couple spots. But to get him at 27, a guy that I think universally was thought to be late teens, early 20s type player. And even at that point, he was seen, if he goes 21, 22, that's a nice value pick because he's probably going to outperform his draft position.
Yeah.
To get him at 27, you're feeling good. I mean, Danny Ainge, pop your collar today, young fella.
Hold on. Now you act like this dude just drafted Rudy Gobert or something.
You do realize Rudy Gobert went number 27.
And that's why I said Rudy Gobert.
And you do realize that Utah was like, we think he's going to be nice, but, man, we're not quite ready to pop college yet. I think Danny Ainge knows that. He got a good one. He got a good one. It's just a matter of, is he going to put in the work to be a great one?
Right, exactly. You know, and in terms of moving up, we really didn't think they were moving up to top 10 or anything like that, because to do that, you got to get rid of a key piece. And we knew that Danny was not going to get rid of Tatum, obviously, or Jaylen Brown. Danny doesn't want to trade Jaylen Brown.
I mean, listen, the only way a scenario like that would have made any kind of sense was, let's say you get bounced in the first round instead of getting all the way to the conference finals. Then you start looking a little more closely at your crew like, damn, we couldn't even get past Milwaukee?
Right.
And then you start thinking like that. But the fact that they were able to go as far as they did without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward, and, you know, you had guys like, I mean, Semi Ojeleye, second-round pick, and you got him starting?
Right.
In a playoffs?
Right.
Not preseason, not regular season. Right. We're talking playoffs
game.
And delivers with his defense. Listen, it was going to take more than just an opportunity at a Mo Bamba or Michael Porter to get Danny Ainge to even reach that far. And once you got past really the top four, top five prospects, it just doesn't make any sense to even contemplate trying to go up.
Yeah, all right. Let's get a guy on the phone who knows Robert Williams very well. That's his head coach at Texas A&M, Billy Kennedy. All right, Coach, thanks for joining us. Obviously, you know, up here in Boston, everybody's talking about Robert Williams and what he can bring to the Celtics team, the Celtics drafting him 27th overall. What kind of player is Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge getting?
They got a guy that's very talented athletically, can play on both ends of the floor and disrupt the game offensively at the rim, and defensively can cover a lot of ground, and is a really good rebounder. He can rebound out of his area.
And Coach, having had him there for a couple of years, what areas of his game did you see he make the most progress in from where you first had him to where he's at now?
Well, I think he's a lot more skilled than people know. We had a big guy that Tyler Davis, we were fortunate. We had two really good big guys. Tyler Davis was more offensively gifted than Robert Williams, or than anybody in our league. He was first team all league. So Robert didn't have the space or the opportunities to show his skills offensively that he has. That's what he's improved on the most this past season. But at times it came out in certain games, but for the most part it was hidden. And all you would see is his great athleticism and not his skill level. He's really an exceptional passer also.
Interesting. Coach, you talked about, you know, some of the inconsistencies. What do you think is the key to unlocking his full potential? What do you think needs to happen?
I think once he gets a taste of that level and surrounds himself with guys who are pros like Al Horford and Jaylen Brown and just the culture that Boston has right now, I think that's what Robert's benefited more than the Celtics because I think he has a chance to flourish in a situation like that and be successful a lot earlier than he would had he gone to a really young team that didn't have the culture where Boston has theirs.
Coach, leading up to the draft process, I know a lot of teams, scouts, GMs, they reach out to the head coaches and ask for input and things like that. Did you get a sense that Robert might go in the first round as late as he did? Because it seemed, for the most part, most expected him to be somewhere in the middle of the first round, maybe slipping into the early 20s. But obviously, this, you know, Celtics getting him at 27, they certainly feel good about that.
Yeah, we were disappointed. We thought he was going to go earlier just based on the fact of talking to coaches and talking to people throughout the spring and throughout the year. And we were a little concerned. And then when the Celtics picked him, it was really exciting. Everybody around our office were really excited because we know what kind of organization that is, and we know the players and the leadership they have in their organization, and that Robert, it suits Robert the best probably than any other team at this point in his career.
Coach, you talk about, you know, what he can do on the court. What kind of kid is he, would you say? What kind of person are the Celtics getting?
He's got a lot of personality. All his teammates and everybody around the office liked him, from the janitors to he's just good with people. He likes to have fun, and sometimes too much fun. But he's just a good kid, and he appreciates people, and he appreciates the opportunities that he has. He's not a spoiled, rotten brat.
One of the criticisms, if you will, of Robert has been that he doesn't always play with a high motor. And as someone who's been around him day in, day out basis the last couple of years, what do you say to those people who see that as a criticism, or they have that as a criticism about Robert?
Well, there's some truth to that. Sometimes he plays to the level of the competition, and he's got to get more consistent of being good every night. And that's something he's had to work on. And for us, we thought he made some great strides towards the end of the season. Our last three league games, we needed to win to get in the tournament. And that's when he really stepped up and picked it up. But just his consistent effort and getting his conditioning at a high level where he can play in longer stretches in the college game was something that he can improve on.
Coach, we know about his, you know, two-time SEC Defensive Player of the Year. What kind of defense did you guys run, and what's going to be the adjustment for him, things he maybe need to work on coming to the NBA level?
Well, I think he was ball screen defense is something that we switched ball screens with him a lot, and I'm sure they'll do it at the next level. But him being a little more assertive and aggressive on switching ball screens. And we haven't been a zone team, but when we got him, we knew that playing a 2-3 zone like Syracuse and putting him in the middle would create some problems with people with his shot blocking ability. So he has really good anticipation and blocking shots. But I think defensively, just being more aggressive on ball screens and being more assertive would help him become, and not play, you can't play behind all the big guys in the NBA where he could play behind and block shots. In college, he's going to have to do a better job of positioning himself, getting around the post and fighting a little bit more.
Coach, when you look at what he's walking into with the Boston Celtics, minutes are going to be, he's going to have to earn those minutes because of just the way their roster is constructed. How do you anticipate him, you know, dealing with that situation? The fact that, you know, he's playing against a much higher level of competition and from a practice standpoint, day in, day out. How is he going to handle that elevated level of competition, do you think?
I think he'll handle the elevated competition. I think you'll see him, it'll take him a while just to adjust. I think you'll see him bloom more later in the season than you'll see him early in the season, just because I think it's a big adjustment. But from an athletic standpoint and a talent standpoint, he's ready right now. It's just understanding some of the the differences in the game, being played at that level and being able to keep his motor going at a high level consistently day in and day out.
Coach, did you talk to Brad Stevens or Danny Ainge about Robert before the draft, and what kind of things did you tell him?
No, I've talked to him since, but I haven't talked to him before the draft.
Just following up on that, just what were their impressions of Robert, and what kind of feedback, what were they looking to kind of get out of you as far as information about Robert when you did get a chance to talk to him?
Just, you know, how would he respond to coaching and what kind of teammate he would be and what kind of kid he was. And I think they knew all the answers and felt comfortable with the things we were telling them. I know they talked to my staff, their staffs talked to my staff quite a bit during the year. And I saw Danny at games and watching us play. But I think they just wanted to make sure they're getting the right kind of person that'll fit into their organization, because they know talent-wise he's got all the tools to be a good player in the NBA and help them continue to build at the championship level.
Coach, you mentioned, you know, what he can do defensively, switched a lot of ball screens. In terms of offensively, you know, we know he can get above the rim and finish around the basket. Obviously, in today's NBA, you know, it seems like even some of the bigger guys are stepping out a little bit. Does he have that ability? Is that something you think he can work on and improve on?
That's something he's got to work on and improve on, and being more consistent with his shot. He mechanically, he's got a good follow through and a really nice touch around the basket using the backboard. But he's got to get to where he has a more pure stroke to be a consistent shooter from the perimeter.
And Coach, were you surprised that he didn't go higher? And why do you think that was like that?
Well, I was a little surprised that he didn't go higher, but just because of the information we were getting throughout the year. And I really don't know exactly why he didn't go. I mean, I can't specifically say one thing or another, but so we were surprised, and nobody said we're not taking him because of this. So I really don't know.
Right.
I think a lot of teams are going to be disappointed when they see how well he plays for Boston, how quick he comes along.
That's what we like to hear up here, Coach.
Listen, their disappointment will be the Boston Celtics' joy, that without question.
Yeah.
Coach, thank you so much for joining us here. We appreciate it. We appreciate it a lot.
You're welcome.
All right, Coach, take care now.
Take care.
Yo, that last line, man. That last line, that's going to be the winner right there.
Yeah.
Coach was good.
He was really good. Really, yeah, good.
He's honest though too, man.
Kept it 100.
That's what I like. No doubt
when
about
I, when
it.
When I asked him about the motor question, I'm thinking like, oh, he's just gonna say, well, you know, people got. And he's like, no, we had that issue.
No, we had that.
We were working on that.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to see this young guy play. You know, obviously, summer league coming up and everything. Mm-hmm. You got to figure, you know, from a Celtic standpoint, all eyes are going to be on him.
Yeah, as they should be. He's the only guy they drafted this year. He's the one guy that I think has a lot of question marks as far as can he adapt what he does well in college to the NBA. I mean, he's a guy that he does a lot of things you like. I mean, the thing, when you watch him play, he really does make you think about this guy can be a double-double guy without having a play called for him.
That's true.
I mean, he really is in so many ways a Clint Capela 2.0.
Yeah, we don't need him to come in 25 points, 20 points, or anything like that. You're right.
Right. And I wrote on NBC Sports Boston about the Clint Capela comparisons there are really five key areas that they're almost identical in.
Really?
When coming into the league. Starting from the draft position. Clint Capela, 25th overall pick. He goes 27th. And then there are other factors that are very similar. And if you're the Boston Celtics, to get a player with that kind of upside, that kind of potential, Danny Ainge is feeling good today.
Did you add the sound effect in there?
Yeah.
That's right.
Trying to get the people what they want.
Let's talk about some other things before we get out of here. I want to start with Dwight Howard.
Okay.
Yeah, not, I mean,
because you do this draft changes that a little bit.
Well, you know what? I want to talk about it, start it, and end it right here.
Oh, wow.
I do not want Dwight Howard in Boston. And you know, I've been a Dwight Howard fan
which
over
is
the
crazy
years.
Because I've been like the Dwight Howard hater, and I'm the one thinking, maybe.
I know. I'm done, man. Well, I'm off that bandwagon.
You know what? Here's the thing about Dwight. And to me, the main reason why I would be considering him before the draft was because you don't know if you're going to be able to re-sign Aaron Baines. You mm-hmm. think you can. He wants to come back. You want him back. But if someone comes in with a $13, $14, $15 million a year offer, Baines ain't coming back. And the other thing, I think you can get him on a cheap. And I'm a big fan of getting guys on the cheap.
I know,
and
but Danny is he going to be motivated? If he's a cancer, it doesn't matter how much you pay for him.
But see, here's the thing. I think he's had that reputation because the role that he's been asked to play, you want him to be the face of your franchise. You want him to be your number two. You come to Boston, you ain't the face of the franchise. And you're going to know that from the jump.
But let me throw this at you. Is he a starter on this team?
If you don't get Aaron Baines back, yep.
You would start Dwight Howard.
Who's going to start in front of him?
Dude, you go small. So which of our wings are going to be on the bench? Who are you going to tell? You going to tell Jalen Brown, have a seat, young
You know
fella?
What it's going to be? You
Come
know
on,
it,
man.
You know what it would be like? It would be the same way it was with Baines, where some nights he's your starter when you're going against bigs. Some
you're
nights
trying to keep everybody happy. You're trying to give everybody
and
a little
Brad
morsel.
Brad Stevens isn't? That's why you start Marcus Morris some games. Sometimes you start Aaron Baines because you want to keep all those guys happy, knowing that certain combinations are better for you to work with than others at the beginning of games. Come on, man.
So you're advocating for Dwight at the right price.
And but remember, and I got to keep saying this. If
Let me
I
put
can't
it at the
get,
bottom shelf, oh,
that's
right.
If I can't get Aaron Baines back. Which okay. is my preference. That's the guy
so
I want.
So you'd rather have Baines then?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Because I think Baines is a better fit, and Baines can do something that Dwight can't, and that is actually stretch the floor, which is something
right.
I thought I'd never say about Aaron Baines. But he has that in his game, and Dwight doesn't.
I agree. I would love rather have much more so Aaron Baines than Dwight Howard. Yeah. I'm totally off Dwight, man, and I know he had a great season with Charlotte, but why are they getting rid of him so easily, so quickly? And I know it's a money thing
let's be real about Charlotte. It's not like you got like basketball geniuses calling the shots there. That franchise
Michael
has been
Jordan at the top.
Great
Steve
player.
Clifford when
Great
he
player.
Was there
when
Steve
he Clifford. Was when he was there. Past, not present, damn sure not future.
Oh,
that's
man.
My point. That franchise has been on this perpetual treadmill where they're just running in place. They're not getting better. They're not getting worse. They're just there.
This is actually a good move for them though.
Well, it's a good move because it gives you a little bit more financial, you know, flexibility. And you get a guy that some of your players thought was bad in your locker room. But my question becomes, okay, he's gone. Batum, what you going to do?
Yeah, Batum's been a disappointment.
You flapped your gums more about Dwight than anybody else. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
How are you going to step your game up?
Because he's making a nice check and not delivering at all.
Yes.
You're right.
Yeah, so if I'm Dwight Howard and I'm hearing this criticism about me and being a cancer, I'm looking at them like, you do know you're worse than me. You do know I'm a better player than you. I'm going into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Where are you going? When your career's over, where are you going?
So I just want the people at home to understand what you just said, because I'm not going to let you get away with just comments just because they sound good on tape and everything.
So I'm talking about
Is Dwight Howard a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
I agree. No,
yes.
Trust me, I know.
Because Drapes, I mean— If your boy Chris Bosh is a potential Hall of Famer, Dwight Howard, damn
two-time
sure
champion Chris Bosh. Put some respect on his name, bro.
Put that respect, asterisk, LeBron James got me those rings, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation.
No, I agree, though. Dwight Howard is an all-star. I wonder,
and
though,
it makes me kind of churn my stomach a little bit.
Where's he going to go, though? When the buyout does happen?
He's going to have two choices. Either take significantly less money and play for a really good team, knowing you're going to have a minimized role, or some foolish team that sucks, who just needs a body that can produce, get some points and rebounds, but we don't care about winning, he'll go there. I think ultimately Dwight, if he's smart, or let me back that up. If Dwight Howard has grown
right.
as a player, both physically and mentally, he'll go somewhere – have a reduced role, make less money, but get more wins.
Let me throw this out there.
Golden State.
That was the number two Cleveland if LeBron comes back.
Listen,
if LeBron comes back.
I'm going to tell you right now, he ain't going to Cleveland.
Why, you don't think LeBron?
Dang, boom.
LeBron's but they need a big dude. They need a big guy.
Kobe thought the same thing. Right. How'd that work out? He ain't going to Cleveland unless LeBron already leaves.
Yeah.
And it said, I'm out. And then Cleveland's like, well, hey, Dwight.
Wow.
Come on over.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and if you're Dwight at that point, why?
But that's not, but that would be a Cleveland move, a veteran,
totally
an old guy that they're trying to, you know, get a little bit more out of, you know, like D. Rose or Dwayne Wade, you
but
know,
you
guys
can try,
like that.
You can play that card when you got LeBron in the building. Yeah. But if LeBron has the U-Haul out front, put it in drive, and then you make that move?
Yeah. Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, no, no. You're,
Cavaliers
you're
fans be like, seriously,
yeah,
y'all?
No, that's our big offseason move, that's, Dwight Howard.
Come on.
No, I'm with you. All right, Kawhi Leonard, switching gears. The Spurs, you heard R.C. Buford the other day, yesterday, saying, hey, they want Kawhi to be a part of their, you know, they wish things obviously would have transpired differently, but he's still their guy.
Yeah, and you know why? Because no one is going to give them anything remotely close to what they will be giving away in Kawhi. No one, because one, you got a disgruntled player. No one wants to pick up a disgruntled player. Two, you've got a disgruntled player who's going into the lash of his contract. Yep. Three, as great as he is, the Spurs are whiffing their right to want a lot for him because he's that talented. But looking at points one and two, yeah. Come on, you're not going to open up the vault. You might let them sneak a peek into the vault. You might throw them a couple coins to keep them happy, but you are not going to say.
So Kawhi got all the power in this, dude. He's holding all these teams hostage, basically, because if he's hell-bent on going to L.A., in a year, there's nothing you could do to stop him.
But that's where Popovich and RC come into play, because I do believe that the fact that they publicly said that we want to keep him here, they're going to do everything they can to keep him there. Right. They're going to point out all the positives about staying there. They're going to say,
the cheddar.
Oh, that dude, that ain't even an issue.
Right.
He know Popovich doesn't have to say anything about money because Kawhi already knows you're going to get paid.
Yeah, you're going to get paid.
They need to figure out whatever disconnect they had, whether it's with the health, the injury, and all the back and forth, you know, chatter. They need to squash that. And I think Popovich is going to just keep it real. Mm-hmm. You're the best player on our team. You know how we do? We go deep into the playoffs every year with or without you. Now, what you want to do?
And I'll throw this out there, too. If I'm the Spurs and if Kawhi has a problem with his teammates, I'm a bye-bye teammates. Like, he's that good.
Listen.
Like, if they lose him, they're hitting the reset button.
I think the whole teammate issue was just something to throw off the fact that Kawhi was having issues with the Spurs front office. Because Tony Parker said what a lot of people were thinking. I mean, let's be real. Tony Parker kept it so 100 about that. You cannot even be mad with him about just basically saying, this dude ain't with us right now, and so we got to move on. Kawhi has to get things right with Popovich.
Yeah.
They have to come to a meeting of the minds. LaMarcus Aldridge went through the same thing. And he looked like he was more out the door than Kawhi. At least with Kawhi, you've got an injury, and you sort of see why there was a disconnect. But with LaMarcus, you were putting up numbers, dude.
A week ago, I thought the Celtics are going to get Kawhi Leonard.
I didn't.
I don't feel that way now. I'm less optimistic now than I've ever been about it.
I never felt they had a strong possibility of getting him because what they would have to give up to get him.
Right.
Was so great. And Danny Ainge, you know, talking about the draft. And remember, when we were talking about the draft, I told you, I did not expect them to move. I expected them to stand pat. And Danny Ainge explained why they stood pat, because the cost of them going up.
Right. They don't want to give up part of their core.
No.
You know?
No, I just came from a four-quarter crappy game away from getting to the NBA Finals without my top two players. And I'm going to break up the band for Michael Porter or, you know, Mo Bamba?
For another young player. Jalen's a young player.
And Danny told y'all, I don't really think we need any more young players. Translation, we ain't trying to break up the crew, y'all.
Right, exactly. All right, man, let's get out of here. Up next for the Celtics, I guess, is free agency.
Oh, boy.
Marcus Smart, you know, is going to be the key. Mm. We'll dive into
just
that next
got
week.
Paid.
Mm. Yeah, he's going to get paid. It sounds like he's going to get paid from somebody.
Somebody is going to CTC. Somebody's cutting the check. You're cutting the check. And he's going to do well. I think Aaron Baines might surprise some people and get
He might get some. Those threes he hit it towards the end of the season, that's just making
that might. I think he may have tacked on another $1-2 million by the playoff threes that he hit.
Exactly. All right, we'll get into free agency next week on the Celtics Talk podcast. Make sure you subscribe to Anything is Pottable. That's our podcast on the 2008 Celtics. It's coming later this summer. It's going to be great. We got Scal as part of it, some of the interviews that our crew did with the 2008 championship team. So make sure you check that out. Also, subscribe to this podcast, the Celtics Talk Podcast, and check us out on any of your favorite podcasting apps. For Asherai Blakely, I'm Kyle Draper. See you next time.
We out!